Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Speaking about the Red Sox, McMonagle here with you, 3:05 on this Tuesday morning. Speaking about the Red Sox there with the Devers thing, and you just heard it there. I mean, that's just a mess. They lost again to the Angels yesterday. They are falling apart. The great Alex Cora doesn't know how to stop it. Amazing. I thought Alex Cora was this unbelievable manager. And yet this Devers situation is clearly hampering the team. They obviously lose Alec Bregman to an injury that's going to cost them almost 2 months. Devers doesn't want to play first. They're not putting him back at third. It's been a disaster with Boston. And you hate to say it. It's a shame. I feel terrible about it. I'm sure Alex Cora will find a way. I forget the guy's name, but we had a caller who constantly called me in the baseball offseason and was throwing it in my face about how much of a better manager Alex Cora is than Aaron Boone, and the Red Sox are young and talented and stars on the way, and they're going to absolutely be better than the Yankees this year, and they're going to win the division. I wish he would call me. I haven't heard from him in a while. Is it Alex, too? Is his name Alex? But he called me a lot, and he was just throwing it in my face that the Red Sox are going to be
New
far
Canaan,
better.
Right?
Is it him in New Canaan? Maybe. But, the Alex Cora is a great manager. They're having a great year. They had a great offseason. They've got all this young talent. It's been brutal for the Boston Red Sox, including last night, something that has never happened before in the history of Fenway Park. There are two stats that we've been talking about. This one I heard and then one I heard earlier today that are mind-blowing to me. But in the history of Fenway Park, dating back all the way to 1912, no visiting team in the history of Fenway Park has hit 3 home runs in the first inning until last night, when Nito did it to lead off the game. Then, fresh back from his most recent injury, and I'm sure there'll be another one soon. It's a shame. It's glad to have him back. I hope he can stay healthy. But obviously, Mike Trout hit a 450-foot bomb. And then Adele, who's been a very disappointing prospect for them, Joe Adele, hit a home run. So the Angels last night in their 7-6 victory over the Boston Red Sox did something that's never happened before in the history of Fenway Park. And it's not, had 2 cycles in an inning or, anything crazy. 3 home runs in the first inning. That is mind-boggling that no one has ever done that. No Yankee team, and they play in the American League East. I know, now it's the worst division in baseball, and I can't even argue that it is. I mean, the Yankees are a damn good team, and they're the best team in the division by a mile, but it is a terrible division. You can't argue it. But, I mean, for years, the American League East was a potent, powerful, you know, great offenses. The Yankee teams all these years, the Yankee teams of the 60s and the Yankee teams of the 20s and 30s, like none
like
of
how
them...
many games did the 1927 Yankees play at Fenway that
year? That's a good question. It, I mean, had to be a handful. I don't know if they had... I think they had an even schedule back then. I don't know if they played too many more in the division as opposed to anyone else. But I don't even know if they had divisions. They just had the American League. So, but they played 154 games. They had to play at least 10.
Just quickly scanned the schedule. 12.
12 games at Fenway. 12 games at Fenway. Never once did, you know, Murderers Row or any great Yankee team or anybody ever hit 3 home runs in the first inning at Fenway.
And they have, not surprisingly, a lot of games with double-digit runs.
Yeah, of course. Never 3 in one game. And a ballpark that, let's be honest, I know dead center is deep and that Triangle Valley is deep. And, you know, it's depending on where you hit it, but they've got the Green Monster, all you have to do is get the ball high enough. And then they got the pesky pole, which is a short porch. You got to hit it, like, right down the line. But still, it's a quirky ballpark that can give up home runs. And never once since 1912 has a team come there and hit 3 home runs in the top of the first. That is amazing. That is an unbelievable stat. And then I'm sure you heard it because Evan and Tiki did a whole thing on it today. But I got to point it out because it is a mind-boggling stat. This one might even be more mind-boggling than that. I don't know. In the history of the NBA Finals, every single NBA Finals ever played has had a former or current, obviously in the ones where the Knicks were in the NBA Finals, but every single NBA Finals has had either a former or current New York Knick involved in the series. How? That is crazy. There's never been, ever, an NBA Finals that didn't have a former or current Knick in the game, in the series. At least involved on the bench. I'm not sure if they had to play necessarily or log minutes, but they were involved. They were on the team that was in the NBA Finals. That's crazy. I wonder if there's another team in the NBA that would fall into that category. I wonder if there's another team that would have, like, you would think the Boston Celtics have a crack at it, and especially dating back all those years, me and Marco were talking about it. It's not like free agency. Like, what are the odds that every NBA Finals had a former Knick in it? I wonder if the Celtics fall into that.
Lakers could too,
going back to
Minneapolis. Those are teams that are in like a quarter of the finals anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Boston certainly had so many. But that's crazy, and obviously this year with iHeart and Obi Toppin will continue the tradition. Crazy. That is a weird stat. But yeah, the two crazy things. Fenway, since 1912, no one's ever gone there and hit 3 home runs in the first inning. That is a weird stat. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the call. Steven Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Chris, has anybody checked on the shortage of garbage cans in Boston?
No, I mean, I know Alex Cora, they eliminated the smart wash.
Yeah,
they took away the garbage cans. I know that Alex Cora, just so happens that Steve Pierce became Babe Ruth the 1 year he played for the Boston Red Sox. Funny how that worked.
You left it wide open for me to step into the garbage can joke, so I just figured I would go for it. But about the weekend, the Yankees weekend in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So let's face it, everyone thought, you know, it was consensus that the Yankees would win the first game with Fried. Judge hit a home run. They lost the game. The bullpen faltered fine.
Well, it was Max Fried more than the bullpen, but the bullpen certainly didn't help, but it was Max Fried.
Right. Well, they were inherited runners scored. Mm-hmm. They allowed you know, hits that, you know, allowed the anyway. So there was that, and then the second game, you know, it's just baseball. And then
up for grabs.
How about this? Yeah. So then here's the third game. Yamamoto's pitching.
Yeah.
Dodgers heavily favored
right.
against Yarbrough. Judge does not even get a hit, mm-hmm. and the Yankees after those two. The first game was a deflating loss. The second game was just an annihilation. And the Yankees salvaged that game, but they didn't just salvage it. They beat Yamamoto.
Yeah, they knocked him out in the fourth inning.
I think, there it is. There's the glass half full.
Oh, yeah. Listen, listen.
Right?
I think that's fair. That is the glass half full. That's the glass half full story of the series. Ultimately, they got beat. They lost 2 out of 3. They got their ace beat. I know so did the Dodgers, but you're right. Baseball's funny, right? It was the Yankees had the advantage in game one. Yeah. The Dodgers had the advantage in game three. And then Saturday would kind of be up for grabs with Knack versus Warren, but Warren's probably been better. So the pitching matchups kind of favored the Yankees, but ultimately Max had his first real bad start of the year and they couldn't hold on to a lead and then got absolutely their ass handed to them on Saturday. And then they came back and beat up on Yamamoto. So
without any hits from Judge.
Right, without any hits from Judge and 4 for 4 from DJ LeMahieu.
There you go. The machine. Could it be on its way back, you know?
Well, I wouldn't.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there just yet, Steve. He's got to show a lot more than that, than 1 4-hit game to make me believe that he's back to anywhere near the machine level. Just serviceable would be nice. Serviceable until they have an option to do something at the trade deadline would be fine by me. But I don't know. Yeah, this look, I just don't play too much. I don't pay too much attention to the series overall. Like, now that it's over, it's over. And I don't get embarrassed by losses. It's losses. That's it. Philadelphia lost 3 straight games to Milwaukee and lost every one by more than 3 runs, including, like, getting beat 11-1. The Dodgers just had one of those games. The Yankees threw every bullpen. Nobody could stop them. They scored a bunch of runs. Who cares? We get hung up on stuff. It's one loss. It doesn't count any more than the next day. I don't get hung up on it. Judge hit three. They put on a show. Judge hit 3 home runs in the series. Otani hit 2 home runs in the series, including 2 in game 1. Judge hits 2 in game 2, the blowout loss. Doesn't do anything in game 3. They come and they take out. They beat up on Yamamoto, knock him out in the 4th inning. And that was, I was, you know, having fun on Twitter, but it's like, this is the narrative of Yankee fans and obviously Met fans trolling. When Max Fried gets hit up, he gets into the 6th, by the way, with the lead, and then in the 6th, he falls apart. He gets beat up, no doubt. And it wasn't, hey, he didn't have, it wasn't like he was walking the ballpark. He was getting hit and hit hard. But if you look at the spots, I mean, he was locating terribly. He was throwing way too much of the plate, Max Fried. He just didn't have a good game. But when Max Fried didn't pitch well in game 1, it was, you see, it's Max Fried isn't really this good. He's not really, it's not that he's having this great year and he's pitching really well. It's that he's facing nothing but terrible opponents. So it's, he's playing the Minnesota Twins and the rest of the American League, and they're terrible. That's why he has a 1.1 ERA. That's why. Because look what happens when he faced a good team. He got hit around. This is what's going to happen when he faces good teams. You can't pitch, you can't always pitch to the lousy Twins. Like, no, he wasn't good. He's been great. He's having an incredible year. He had a lousy outing. And he was giving up way too much of the plate in that 6th inning. But when nobody says that, when Yamamoto gets knocked out of the fourth inning, everyone's saying, oh, Yamamoto didn't have it, he didn't have his command, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Both are true. Yamamoto didn't have his good stuff, neither did Max Fried. But the series is just overblown. It's just overblown. It doesn't mean anything. If anything, this Nick run proved it. The games in the regular season don't mean anything. What means something is right now, as we talked about, Luke Weaver is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. That's the issue the Yankees have right now. The issue isn't they lost two out of three to the Dodgers. That's over. No one cares. They're playing more important games against Cleveland tonight. Right now, they don't have their closer, and Devin Williams is going to get thrusted back into the closer role. And I don't agree. Like, let me find the stat. Like, the first caller I had out of the show, or one of the first, is that, you know, until you wouldn't give the closer role to Devin Williams until he proves himself. Or, like, here's the thing about Devin Williams, right? And I understand the only time of his last 15 appearances, the only time it's been in a closing situation was his worst one. But listen to the numbers on Devin Williams. This is from Max Goodman on Twitter. Devin Williams has a 1.8 ERA over his last 11 outings. He hasn't allowed a run in 13 of his last 15 games. I mean, he's been good. He has pitched well enough. He's got a 1.8 ERA in his last 11, and he's given up runs in two of his last 15. He's been good. And the one bad game falls in his last 11, which is probably why he has a 1.8 ERA. I think those are the only real significant runs he's given up. Devin Williams is going to be the closer of the team for the next 2 months. Until the All-Star break, Devin Williams is the Yankee closer again. And we'll find out if that's a disaster, because, again, no, I shouldn't say that, because if he doesn't pitch well, he doesn't get to hold on to the spot. I don't know who they would put there. Probably Leiter. But he's going to be the closer of this team. And I do think it can be a blessing in disguise. The injury's not significant. I know the hamstrings are tricky, so he could be gone a while, Weaver. But it's not an arm injury. It's not an issue. You're worried about his elbow or his shoulder. He pulled a hamstring. He'll be back as soon as his hamstring's ready to go. But in the meantime, we're going to find out about Devin Williams. And like I said before, I know I view it differently, and I think along the lines of the New York Yankees. And nobody cares as long as they win. When they start losing, then Yankee fans start to care. But this game tonight, for example, or any game along the stretch, here's the fact of the matter of the New York Yankees. They're one of, if not the best team in the American League. And I know that's saying less than it has over the last handful of years. The American League is down. There's no doubt. Even the more talented teams that you thought would be good, like the Boston Red Sox, are not. Like the Texas Rangers, have not been able to hit. We'll see if they ever hit, because their pitching has been good. But like teams that we thought were going to be right there with the Yankees, the Red Sox and the Rangers, have not been there. The Tigers are excellent this year, been very good. And Seattle's kind of been better. And Cleveland kind of does what it does. I don't know if I consider them a threat or not. But the New York Yankees are one of, if not the best team in the American League. And the New York Yankees are going to win this lousy division. And the New York Yankees are going to the postseason. We could quibble about a loss here or a loss there. That's the fact. The Yankees are going to the postseason. And all likelihood, the Yankees are winning this division. So when you look at it, getting Devin Williams to become what he has been in Milwaukee, which is, bar none, top 2-3 relievers in the game. Without question, top 2-3 closer in the sport for the last 3 seasons. Or 2.5 when they traded Hader away. Getting him back to himself, getting him back to his confident, dominant self, locating that fastball every appearance, becoming the dominant reliever he's been, is more important than any one game. Because they're going to get to the postseason. And when they get there, they're going to need Devin Williams to be really good. Because my vision for this team, I know Cruz has been really good. I know Leiter, who everybody hates and they think sucks, has been incredibly good. Other than, you know, his last outing against the Dodgers on Saturday, when no one could get outs, he wasn't very good. But he's been great this year, Leiter. and particularly against left-handed pitching. So they have other arms. Efros is coming back. I don't know what he's going to be. It's been forever. Loaizaga is just working his way back into the season. He's been okay. It's been a mixed result. He was bad the other night, gave up some home runs. My vision for this team is get me to the seventh with a lead, and I got three innings to be covered by Williams and Weaver. That's what I want. I want those three innings to be covered by Williams and Weaver. The Yankees, in the moments, in the games that will matter. And you might think that the game tonight against Cleveland really matters. And you might think that the game Saturday against the Dodgers really mattered. And you might get hung up on it if they lose. But you know the truth, that you won't give a damn about these games once the postseason starts. You won't care. You never do. Nobody. I try and talk about how many regular season games they win. No one gives a damn. I get called the Yankee shill for it. It's not about winning games in May or June. Not now, and particularly not this year. It's about getting this team to a point where they're at their best come the postseason. Healthiest and best. And the best version of this team has Devin Williams as a huge part of the back end of the bullpen. And this could be a positive in the idea that he's going to get to close again. And he's going to be in these ninth inning situations in this uniform, in this building, under the pressure of being the New York Yankee closer. And we'll find out about him. And hopefully he can do better than he's done. And hopefully he can continue the trend of what he's done over his last 15 appearances. Because if he does, when Weaver comes back, I still put Weaver back at the closer the minute he's healthy. And now you have a dynamic duo at the back of the rotation to go along with hopefully the dynamic duo at the top of the back end of the bullpen, rather. And then hopefully to go along with the dynamic duo of Fried and Rodon at the top of the rotation and this lineup that's been as good as any in the American League and as any as good in baseball. But right now, Weaver's on the shelf. It sucks. He's been I've felt as good about Weaver being on the mound as any relief pitcher we've had since Mo. There was a time, a couple years there, where, like in 2017, when Andrew Miller, I felt about as good as you could possibly feel about a reliever. Outside of Andrew Miller, Weaver by far has been the most easy. I feel good when he's in the game. I have the utmost confidence. We haven't felt this way about a reliever in a long time, and it sucks that he's going to be gone for 2 months. But ultimately, it's not an arm issue. He'll be back when he's healthy. This team is not going to fall out of the division race. This team is not going to, you know, really be in any position other than when he comes back, they'll be ready to finish out the season, get to the postseason, and hopefully this two-month stretch gets Devin Williams, who's already been on the right track, to really solidify himself, gain that confidence back, know he can do it in the ninth if needed, and really set this team into best position to go win when it matters against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and that would hopefully be in the World Series.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro.
we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Series.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:32. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. A lot of Knick talk still, obviously, as we come to terms with them losing the series to the Pacers. And we try to figure out how best to move forward. I still think that's with Tibbs as the head coach. And I'd be open to anything player-wise. I just don't know if it's out there. I think the Giannis thing is a pipe dream. I don't think they're changing Cat. I don't think they're changing, obviously, Brunson and Mikal Bridges. I think that they made this move knowing this was a couple-year run. And I probably think that somewhere inside the front office that they got past the Boston Celtics or in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. I think there is probably, I don't know about a feeling of overall like success, but a positive feeling around this team on some level and that they just started with. And I think they can build and complete the roster, which they know they didn't when the Karl Anthony Towns trade was made so late in the offseason that they didn't have a chance to do it. So I think there's a feeling that they can build around this team, make it better, keep this coach, figure out a way to be more cohesive as a team and go and attack this thing next year. 888-808-1019. Talked a lot of baseball as well. The Mets with a 4-3 victory in the first game of this four-game set out with the Dodgers in L.A. An incredible start from Paul Blackburn, who just came off the IL for one start. It sounds like he's going to go back to the bullpen now that he's made his one spot start. But it was five shutout innings against the Dodgers. Got Ohtani out three separate times, including striking him out twice on curveballs. An incredible performance, a continuation of what this front office and pitching lab continues to do with this rotation. They get a leadoff home run from Lindor. They get a two-run lead that they eventually do blow. You get a home run from Ohtani and then a sacrifice fly in the ninth for Diaz's first blown save of the year, but they rally and score two in the top of the 10th and hold on to take a 4-3 victory in the first game of the series. And you headed in hoping just for a split, and now you get greedy and want to win this thing and make a real statement against the Dodgers, who absolutely, for the Mets, will be the competition. It seems very unlikely the Mets would get back to a World Series without facing the Los Angeles Dodgers. This series means a lot more to the Mets than it does to the Yankees. This is a significant series, especially with the Mets now a game and a half up on Philadelphia, who up until they ran into the buzzsaw that was the Milwaukee Brewers, had been as hot as anyone in baseball. And they're in a battle in one of the tougher divisions in baseball as the Yankees are cruising in the worst division in baseball. 888-808-1019. Both are dealing with injuries now as we're waiting to hear for the Dominguez sore thumb and what that will impact, whether or not he goes to the IL. But the two IL stints that seem guaranteed are the reports that from Jeff Passan has not been released from the Yankees just yet, but Luke Weaver is most likely going to the IL with a hamstring pull and could be out for as much as 4 to 6 weeks. And Vientos came up lame on a ground ball in the 10th, clutching at his hamstring. And Mendoza says it did not look good, and he's with the trainers right now. So it sounds like both hamstrings for Luke Weaver and Vientos will cost them IL stints, and it's going to be prime time for Devin Williams and maybe Ronnie Mauricio? We'll find out. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Weaver is not good. That's not good, Chris.
It is not good.
I mean, now Devin Williams has to show what he's made of.
He's going to be the closer. Let's find out what he's got.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can revert back to the form of prior to Pete Alonso taking him deep. Yeah. And
he's been good the last 13 or 14 outings. He's kind of figured it out a little bit. Yeah, I mean, his numbers are good. He's got a 1.8 ERA in his last 11 starts. He was good against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. He's been much better.
And Ohtani. Well, he did well against the Yankees, but with the Mets, they seem to be able to control him a little bit better.
Well, yeah. Well, listen, actually, Ohtani, he had the 2 home runs in game 1. He actually did nothing in game 2 despite the Dodgers killing it. He didn't do much in game 2 or game 3, but yes, he was a main part of the comeback and winning that game on Friday night. And Ryan Yarbrough shut him down, but yes, the Mets continue to play the Dodgers well this season as they've won 2 of the first 3 and now take the first of this 4-game set out in LA.
So, whoever thought Ryan Yarbrough would be...
No, it's crazy.
A key piece. I mean, did we ever think that?
No.
I thought he would be in the bullpen.
No, absolutely. I mean, I remember, and Stu, thank you for the call as always, Ryan Yarbrough is becoming a thing. I was there the third game against the Diamondbacks. They lost the first 2 games of that series. And, you know, you didn't want to be swept. That was the series, if you remember, Giancarlo Stanton told the team they don't get swept at home. And I was in the building, and Cookie Carrasco had a very good start. I think he gave up like 1 run in 5 innings or something. It was one of the few Cookie Carrasco good starts at the start of the year. He pitched really well. The Yankees scored a bunch of runs and were cruising to a victory. And then Ryan Yarbrough came in. And I think either the 7th or the 8th inning, and pretty much, you know, walked the bases loaded and gave up a grand slam. And I'm telling you, it was, why is he on this team? Ryan Yarbrough sucks. This is embarrassing. How does Boone even have him in this game? They need to win this game. They lost the first 2 of the series. Why would you even bring in Ryan Yarbrough? He's a disaster. This team continues to just throw out crap, blah, blah. Like, everyone was furious. I was on after the game. Everyone's mad about Ryan Yarbrough. They ended up still holding on to win the game. But what he has become since turning over as the starter, I mean, they've changed his fingers a little bit on the changeup. It's getting a little bit more depth than it has the last couple years. But Ryan Yarbrough and Will Warren, now I know he got lit up on Saturday and couldn't get it out of the 2nd inning. I get it. But besides that, you're talking about a rookie pitcher with a strikeout rate that's right at the top of the league. And since that starting against the A's, he's been really good. Now, I know what happened on Saturday, and hopefully he bounces back from it. But the bottom of the rotation, without question, has turned around the team. Will Warren becoming what he's been over the last 5 or 6 starts, and now what Ryan Yarbrough is doing, the difference between the lousy Will Warren we were seeing and Cookie Carrasco and what they have now in 4-5 is changing the team. Because Freed's been great the whole year. Rodon's been great the whole year. They didn't really have a third. Now they got, obviously, Clark Schmidt kind of steadily making starts and doing what he does, which is he is the king of the, you know, 5 or 6 innings, giving up 2 or 3 runs every single start. So you know what he's going to give you, the steady nature of Clark Schmidt. But the bottom of the rotation was a disaster, and now it's kind of become a strength. And Ryan Yarbrough is as good as any starter they have. It's been a remarkable turnaround. This is a Brian Cashman gem. You ride this thing into the ground until it falls apart. Maybe this will last. I don't know. I respect Ryan Yarbrough. We've seen him for years. He's baffled the Yankees at times. He is the initial bulk starter. Like, he is the king. He was the first guy to really be their bulk starter in Tampa Bay when they came up with the opener. He would be the guy who would follow the opener and give them four or five innings. And right now, he has been a lifesaver for the New York Yankees. And I guess, you know, gave him a big win there. You don't want to get swept by the Dodgers. Again, I don't put too much stock into the series. I'm not bragging about winning that third game. But it was an impressive start from Ryan Yarbrough. That's what I'm talking about. When I say the games aren't necessarily as important as what you find out about players, Ryan Yarbrough being this good is the bigger takeaway than winning that game. Like, if the bullpen would have blown it, if they would have lost that game against the Dodgers, I would have been annoyed. I would have been pissed off. But if you ask me what the most important thing was about that game, it wouldn't have been that they lost it. It would have been that Ryan Yarbrough continues to be an incredible starter, and that's going to benefit them moving forward more than the odd off game where the bullpen lost the game or whatever would have happened. That's what the position the Yankees are on, they're in right now. And maybe that'll change. We'll see. But they're in a position right now where we know where they're going to be. We know they're going to be. It's about fine-tuning this roster. That's why people get mad about DJ LeMahieu, right? Pinch hitting late in a game. Why would you pinch hit DJ LeMahieu? Why? Why? Because you're trying to get DJ LeMahieu going. And who knows? Maybe the confidence the manager showed in him in that spot sparked the four hits. But shh, that would be giving Boone credit. I can't do that. Let's not get crazy now. Start mentioning positive Aaron Boone stuff. It's one thing, McMonagle, you fat bastard, if you want to defend him when we kill him. But don't be giving me positive stuff. But you're trying to find out if you have anything from DJ LeMahieu, because who knows what the trade market brings at the deadline. And as much as I like some of the young kids, I don't know. I like Vivas. He swings from his heels, that's for sure. And he's had some moments here, but I don't know about Vivas. We'll see if DJ LeMahieu can give him anything. And he got four hits in the next game after the pinch hit appearance on Friday night. But right now, they're dealing with some injuries. We'll see what happens with Dominguez, who jammed his thumb. But for the first time, and here's the positive, you want to talk about a glass half full. Here's the positive thing about the Yankees. They have depth. For the first time in a while, especially in the lineup, if Dominguez is out for a little bit, Grisham's still playing. You know, he's cooled off from what he was in April and early May, but Grisham's still playing pretty well. Hit a big home run on Friday night against the Dodgers. And you play the outfield of him, Bellinger, and Judge. That's it. It's really, you know, they have depth right now. They've got Rice, who can DH. They've got hopefully Stan coming back relatively soon. We'll see what that means for this team. We'll see how they juggle all this, because part of depth is you have a lot of good players. And right now, you don't want to see Rice sitting on the bench very often. He's got great numbers against right-handed pitching. And maybe they can ease Stanton in with, like, lefty DH for a while. But eventually, you know, Stanton is Stanton. One, he's making a lot of money. Two, he's their best postseason player. Three, he's a threat at any moment and changes how you pitch the lineup. Like, you got to get him involved. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Rice. I wonder how many games they catch him. I wonder if he's a once-a-week catcher. I don't know. But right now, the key focus is the depth in the bullpen. And for a guy that, you know, because the Weaver injury, it's not about Weaver. He'll be fine. This isn't an elbow. It isn't a shoulder. Pulled a hamstring. It sucks. It's certainly not about Aaron Boone pitching him on Saturday. I took a call on that yesterday after the word was that he got hurt in the bullpen on Sunday night. I took a call on that on yesterday. I heard Key taking calls on it. It's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. That pitching him on Saturday when he hadn't pitched since Tuesday is why he got hurt in warmups the next day. I mean, it's just classic looking to blame the manager. It just drives me absolutely nuts. But it's not about Will Warren. This injury now becomes about Devin Williams. It becomes about the depth in the bullpen. Cruz hopefully coming back. He's ready to come back after some shoulder fatigue or whatever he was dealing with. He was a really huge piece for them. He's done a great job for them. It was a great trade to bring him in here. He was striking people out. Nobody can hit that split finger. As long as he gets ahead, you almost can't hit him. You got Efros coming back at some point. You've got Cousins coming back at some point. The bullpen's going to really start to get their arms back. And now this is about Devin Williams, who, in my mind, I'll see how the manager handles it. We'll see how the Yankees handle it. I would think Devin Williams is going to be thrusted right back into the closer role, and that's what this is going to become. This is going to become about Devin Williams and whether or not he's capable of dealing with the pressure of being the New York Yankee closer. And I'm almost, and I know this is crazy, I'm not necessarily excited about it because Luke Weaver's great and I want him to be a part of this team. He's been incredible, and him being away is going to hurt the team. There's no doubt. But I'm looking forward to seeing if Devin Williams can take this job by the horns, because if he does, it sets the Yankees up. Like Ryan Yarbrough. Ryan Yarbrough's great. He's won them a bunch of games. It's really helped them. That's the point. You want that fifth starter to be better than what it was. It's about moving forward and how it makes them good for the long term, not any one particular game. And right now, in my mind, when I envision this team playing the postseason, I envision this team going up against, say, the Detroit Tigers in the ALCS. How do I envision them getting, you know, through Carpenter and Green and Gleyber Torres? The back end of the bullpen of a Weaver Williams is what we're looking for. So it's a good opportunity for Devin Williams to step up, put behind him the disastrous start of the year, continue what he's done for his last 13 to 15 outings, and go out there and be the dominant reliever he's been his entire career. It'll go a long way into the fans having faith in him again. It'll go a long way into him building confidence, and it'll go a long way into making the Yankees the best team that they can be to go and try and finally win a damn championship since 2009.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 3:52. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So, you know, I mentioned to you guys last week I had the crazy experience of watching a deer give birth in my backyard. And I talked about how, you know, the baby stuck around while the mother went out foraging, and we looked it up, and it's kind of normal that the baby will stay in the place it's born for a while, and the mother will go out, feed, because it needs to eat a lot to create milk to come back and feed the baby. And the baby apparently has no scent either when it's first born. So the mother isn't worried about predators coming to find it. And that's part of the reason they picked the backyard too, with the fencing. They believe it's safe. And the baby was sleeping in the soccer net for a day or whatever. And that was like last week, right? And we opened up all the gates to the backyard. We wanted to make sure the baby deer was out, and the baby deer stayed for like a couple days, and we saw it like up along the lining of one of the fences. Then it was over there, but and now it's been gone for about 3-4 days. Haven't seen it. And then this morning I come home from work and I walk through my house and I just take a quick glimpse outside, and sure enough, in the soccer net again is the baby deer. And now I'm starting to get, because my mother is like crazy wildlife, I'll come home and there'll be a line of apples and carrots all over the place. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, it's cold out. There's snow on the ground, the deer. I'm like, you can't be doing that. So like, she's crazy about making sure these animals are good and everything. So we didn't cut the grass last week because the deer was in the backyard. And now, after being gone for 4 days, we thought we were rid of it. Now it's back. And I'm supposed to cut the grass tomorrow. Well, I'm not supposed to, but it's supposed to be cut. What am I supposed... Like, it was gone. It's been like two... It's been a week and a half. How long is this thing going to stay in my backyard? And now we got to tiptoe around it. And the kids can't go out and play because we're not allowed to get close to it. Because, God forbid, there's a human scent on it. And then the mother won't take it back. I don't know. I couldn't believe that thing was back in the soccer net this morning. I'm like, don't you have better things to do? Aren't you like a teenager by now? Shouldn't you be somewhere loitering outside a movie theater or something? What's going on? Go watch Minecraft. Lava, chicken. I don't know if you guys have any kids. They are obsessed. We were at the baseball games, at the parties. Everyone is singing this the Lava Chicken song from the movie. Lava, chicken. Steve's Lava Chicken, yeah, it's tasty as hell. Mama Cita, now you're ringing the bell. Tasty and better than having a snack. Lava Chicken, it's a lava attack. They sing it non-stop. Yeah, see, that was Jack Black. It is a good version. Lava Chicken, now it's tasty as hell. They don't, and all of them, it's not just my kids. They go to the game, everyone, all the kids know this song, and they're all singing it. La 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 lava, chicken. I hear it everywhere I go. It is unbelievable. I know they had like that scene with the chicken jockey where the movie theater was going crazy. Every kid is singing this stupid song. And I love Jack Black, but now he's intruding in my life. It was one thing when he was quotable from Saving Silverman. It was one thing, you know, watching Kung Fu Panda with the kids and they liked that. Cool with it. Cool with it.
You even had us play whatever cover song he did last year in that movie.
Yeah, he did the cover of Britney Spears' Hit Me Baby One More Time. It was awesome. I love Jack Black. But this Lava Chicken song has got to go. Because it's short, it's sweet, they know all the words, and you could sing it over and over again. It's like the song that doesn't end, or, you know, I don't know, like Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. It's just the same thing over and over again. There's not even like different elements to the song where you catch it at different points. It's just every, like, they'll be coming downstairs. I'm getting out of the shower and I hear la la lava chicken. I'm like, he'll be just doing anything. They'll be like, he'll be, you know, doing his math homework and he'll just be doing la 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 lava. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. The back of the car, baseball practice, the entire team singing it. Ugh. Every, we put our hands in at the end of the game and we go, you know, what do we want to say on three? Lava chicken. I was like, no, I'm doing it. Not doing that. We're doing Warwick. Warwick on three. Everybody shut up. It's absurd. I got baby deer, lava chicken, bears going through my garbage. It's ridiculous. And today we had a football meeting and football practice for the little guy. Tonight I got, for the older kid, flag football. Tommy, my oldest son, might do regular football in the fall. We'll see. But they like the flag football. It's fun. But practice for the little guy. And, you know, flag football is kind of, it's fun. But it's just pretty much what happens is, let's be totally honest, like, it's a little bit different than other sports. Basketball is a little bit like this at this age, but you really have a better opportunity to focus on trying to pass the ball and get everyone involved. What happens with flag football, especially at this young age, you find the fastest kid, you put him at running back for the most part. I mean, you try and rotate the position, but what happens is the fastest kid gets the ball. It's very difficult to grab that flag, and they run for touchdowns consistently. And then you'll get the coach who takes it too seriously and always gives it to that little kid, and they run for a bunch of touchdowns. That's what happens. Last year, the first game, my son ran like a halfback toss for the touchdown. We were like all flipping out. I'm hoping the little guy could do the same. But yeah, Marco, you have children in somewhat in the age group I'm talking about. What's your oldest?
He'll be 11.
Oh, he'll be 11. Okay. Are you aware, if I say this to you, I'm curious, because maybe 11's a little older, but if I say, la 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 lava, chicken, Steve's lava chicken, yeah, it's tasty as hell. Nope, nothing
no,
to you?
No, that okay. One, I got nothing.
Okay. You're welcome. No, good for you. I'm happy for you that you don't have to deal with it. Is that? It's from Minecraft with Jack Black.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I get the... now I can't think of it.
Chicken jockey?
Yeah, I get the chicken jockey every couple minutes.
Well, there's this Lava Chicken song. They don't stop. And it's not just my kids. It's like everyone in the neighborhood, the baseball team, everywhere I go. I hear them singing it on the bus when I pick them up off of school. It's everywhere.
No, I get my son and my nephew, who's a year older.
Yeah.
They're on FaceTime all the time, and I'll just kind of walk by. And every once in a while, I just throw in chicken jockey. Like, it just gets thrown in. So yeah. I get
that. No, that too.
I get that.
That too. No, the lava chicken. Mm. And I heard it today, too, because I had to get on the bus, because today was hat day. Every day is a day. Every day.
Why the hell is that?
I have no idea. Yeah. It's either pajama day or short sleeve t-shirt day or colorful shorts day or mixed match socks day. Mm-hmm. It's always something. So today was hat day for the little guy. Mm-hmm. He had this one hat he wanted to wear. My wife laid out one hat. He's like, no, I don't want that. I want the other hat. Puts it on his head, walking around the house. Him and my son go upstairs. My son, the older son, is all of a sudden very aware of what's going on. Doing his hair, little spurts of cologne, very aware of his presentation all of a sudden. So he runs upstairs to put on some cologne. They're fighting about it. I want to put on the cologne. No, I'll just spray you. It's my cologne. No, just give me the bottle. So they're fighting. We have to run out. We have to run out to the bus, and the bus pulls up. My little guy takes one step on the bus, turns around, and goes, my hat. And I could notice he's not wearing a hat. It didn't dawn on me, but he had one on it. So I'm like, excuse me, can you just wait 1 second? I book it into my house. I'm looking everywhere for the hat he wants. Can't find it. I take the one my wife left out for him. I run back to the bus. I have to go onto the bus. I hand it to him. As soon as I hand it to him, he looks at the hat, and I can see it.
Yeah.
Like, the eyes are just like, and I can tell he's about to get upset. I'm like, See you. Bye. And as I'm on the bus, I hear the lava song. But like I could tell he was not happy that that's the hat I
came back. So you ran off the bus before he could start the crying
fit? Oh, absolutely. I gave him the hat and I said, that's it. I got off the bus. I could tell he wasn't happy. Huh. I couldn't find the hat. And the reason I brought up the cologne thing is he went upstairs with his brother, must have gotten into a fight or whatever, and left the hat upstairs. So I just ran into the house looking. Maybe he left it downstairs. I didn't see it. I grabbed the other hat, and I could tell he was not happy. And then when he gets off the bus, the first thing he says to me, I'm mad at you, Daddy. I didn't have my hat.
Yeah.
I'm like, you've got some nerve.
Well, you should have known that was coming.
I knew it was coming. That's why I ran off the bus. Not dealing with that.
You had a better shot of getting him the Dr. Seuss hat, and he would have. It's the same thing. Oh, if you didn't give him the one that he wants, yeah. It doesn't matter what you give him.
No, of course.
It's garbage.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was just frustrating because he had it on his head. I didn't notice it wasn't on his head anymore, and then I knew it. I knew when I grabbed it. I knew as I'm running to the bus, it's going to be a problem. He's not going to be happy. It's not the hat because we had the conversation. No, do this hat. No, I don't want that hat. Like we already had the fight about it and everything. It was just.
Yeah, you suck.
You suck. No, I suck at this. I'm half asleep. You know, it's brutal. But yeah, but my point of this whole thing was as I'm on the bus, I'm hearing the lava.
I'm shocked that I haven't heard that.
Oh my God.
I'm shocked I haven't heard that.
It's just, and I love Jack Black, but this is the worst thing he's ever done.
I didn't see the movie.
No, I haven't seen it either. But I'm just saying. Okay.
Because I was going to say, my son did go, the oldest did go see it, but I didn't go with him. He was with his friends with something else. I wasn't there.
Neither was I when they went to go see it, but the song has endured. And it's only like one line, so it's not like you catch it at multiple parts. It's all just the beginning.
You know how that works. I mean, let's be fair. We did that stuff as kids, too. You pull one line out of a movie, it's 3 hours long, and all of a sudden that winds up being the thing that you talk about forever.
No, but like there are other songs that go a little bit long because they're into some other stupid songs or whatever, but like this is particularly just and they all like the beginning of the la 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 ba. Chicken, and they just, and Mike, they'll be sitting on the couch or whatever, watching TV, and all of a sudden they'll just start singing. It's obnoxious.
I got to tell you, I feel much better about myself that I don't have to hear that.
I know.
I also didn't give the wrong hat to one of my kids.
Yep, wrong hat. I made the bus driver wait and everything. I'm running into the house, looking everywhere for this hat. I come out with the wrong hat, and you could see it in his face. I'm like, tough.
Bus is off schedule.
Take the hat. Yep, I'm making everyone wait.
And you screwed up anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. It depends
on
how you
don't
look
guess.
At it.
No, don't guess.
You I didn't screw up. He screwed up. Left the hat upstairs. It's your fault. It's his own fault.
You know you did.
It's his own fault. It's not my fault.
No, it's your fault.
It's my fault for not recognizing he wasn't in the hat as we were walking out to the bus. That's the fault. Because then I could have said, where'd you leave the hat? And I could have gotten it. It's not my fault that I didn't know where the hat was when I was in a panic mode.
See, this is where you lose me. Everything is your fault and you should know it.
I know.
Before it even happens, it's your fault and you should know it. Why you can't just swallow that and come to grips with it, I don't understand. You've been a father long enough. Yeah. Everything is your fault.
It's true. It's true. I got the deer in the backyard. That's my fault, too. The deer's back. I told you about giving birth to the deer in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gone for like 4 or 5 days. Today, back sleeping under the hockey net, the goalie net, the soccer net. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
What is there to do?
I don't know, but now we're like, we don't want to cut the grass because we don't want to scare it or send it off. I don't know.
No. You can cut the
grass.
That's
what I said. I said cut the grass.
No. But, I mean, I have all kinds of wildlife that live in my yard. The deer come every day. I got the groundhogs, the squirrels, the rabbits.
Oh, yeah, no. We caught like 5 groundhogs.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I got at least 4 of them living under the deck that's already decrepit and falling apart.
Yeah,
live under there. I'm not stepping on that deck. I'll go right through it. Good. Live over there.
Yep. It's fun.
That's what I'm saying. The rabbits are all over the place. You got the deer. Yeah. What's the problem?
Well, because he's the baby deer that we witnessed give birth in our backyard, and now he's coming like to hang out there.
They hang out. They eat. Let him eat.
No, but he's not just hanging out and eating. Like, he's picked the spot, like, in the safety of the net and the whole bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it feels different than just a normal deer running through the backyard.
You're losing me.
His name is Freckles.
Okay.
He's been named.
Great. So the deer's there. Make sure that it eats. What other than that?
Well, I'm not going to make sure. I don't want to scare it or you get too close to it and then it smells like humans and I don't know if the mother will take it back. I don't know.
Mother will take it back.
Yeah. You know, animals are fickle. Come around.
Fickle for Freckles?
Yeah. Fickle. Yeah. You smell like the McMonagles. I'm not touching you.
Huh.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.